Chapter 23, Endgame.
You were as gifted as any Primaris when you landed on Aegea V, but they didn't tell you because of that ugly collar. Why do you think there were two Inquisitors and the General's staff arguing over your every move?
They were scared of me, just like you earlier today.
You were scary. That mark around your neck freaks me out.
I don't want to scare you away.
Is that why you never answered my question?
What question?
What am I to you?
Keegan, our connection is the truest thing I've ever experienced. To me, you're a goddess.
What was so hard about that?
A goddess is someone to worship from afar. I think you deserve more.
Hey, I'm the goddess here. Let me be the judge of that.
The facilities in the Underhive were warmer and more comfortable than the barracks back at the trenches of Gaul Primus. A long shower and a good meal made me touchable again. I also held a quick in-person exchange with my Arcs and two of Warrant Green's Reds, rebuilding my reserves. The new warp mark was a dangerous backdoor, and I needed to be ready if Bloodthorn No. 2 tried to kick it in. Word came down that the Loyalist divisions had secured Secundus and Tertius and were pressing onward to Quartus. The Loyalists' sole mechanized division was hunting down the rebels' artillery batteries, and the Gaul spaceport was being readied for use. Losses were high, especially among the lead Fulcrum divisions. Ator's berserkers had left their mark and then some. Lacking a cohesive force to bend their minds, the Blood Cultists were in disarray, and Traitor Guard units were beginning to surrender en masse. Loyalist commissars and Hereticus agents would have their hands full, but I hoped they held off on the executions until Sarkis was gone and the war officially over. Commander Olivia Preston went back to Primus. She had a new assignment and a message for the governor concerning the ruler of the Tertius Underhive. Governor Barthel held sway over all aspects of the cluster, but sanctioning a political assassination in the middle of a war was a step too far, especially in the stridently neutral domain of the Underhive. Bendix hadn't died by accident or natural causes such as one pissed off savant. Olivia Preston had leveraged my presence. She knew I was never at risk. Others in Aegea V's shaky political lattice might take offense if it became known that Barthel's agent had acted alone and without cause. I thought it was an even trade. Governor Barthel got the pick of the new underlord in Gaul Tertius and a smooth transition, while I got Commander Olivia Preston as my head of security. To say Preston was thrilled by the news would be an understatement. After our brief reunion in the Tertius Underhive's misused temple, Primaris Rovira had returned to Gaul Primus. She'd been the liaison between my reality and that of the Imperial Guard. She didn't hold back when explaining my new position and the authority that came with it. A Primaris could sway a battle, but few could sway an entire war. My channelers remained dormant. The mark of Sarkis was having its effect on minds near and far. I couldn't argue with reason, so I worked around it. 2 days later, the Bloodthorns reached the point of desperation that only an Overhive whelp can comprehend. Moving in slowly like the tide, the shards of chaos followed their mark and slithered their way through my mind. Each was a fraction of the warp demon's soul. Each was an anchor gaining weight on this side of the veil. With the Dark Soul's arrival, I was hooded and locked alone in a prepared cell. The padded walls held the names of every psyker in my circle, each outlined in silver and pulsing with power. It was our own web of power, intertwined with our will. No channelers were necessary. As a statement of trust, it was immense. As the backdrop for a battle, it was everything a psyker could want, and as a trap, it did the trick. Who do you serve? It was my turn to ask the questions.
Sarkis.
The entity chanted its name over and over in my mind, flooding me with its blood-red essence. Hood, I spoke to a sensor embedded in the cowl, releasing its lock around my neck. I removed the hood in the nick of time. My eyes feasted on the silver mural around me, even as my stomach emptied itself on the floor. Silver, I spat back. A trickle of energy began to flow in from the hive above, another tide, this one pushing back. As the pressure built, I dove into the boundary between souls and speared the pair of interlopers with my silver energy. I couldn't destroy them, and with my mark of Sarkis, I couldn't forcibly expel them, but I could latch on and plant my own mark deep. I was the beast, and they were in my lair. I roared out another name, Six. The waters of my mind reddened and thrashed. Warp forces collided beneath the surface, a skirmish before the final battle. My funnel ability amplified the energy I controlled, and the silver energy burned at Sarkis's hosts, devouring their presence. "Don't leave," I screamed. I'd stolen their intention and grown attached. They couldn't do anything without my consent but exist.
"We must."
"Say my name and I will allow it."
"Six."
"Who do you serve?" The Bloodthorns couldn't ignore the question, nor could they lie. Facing failure, they fled, each trailing a silver thread. Smelling of bile, iron, and other things better left unmentioned, I crawled into a corner of the cell and wept. I was given another day to pull myself together in the shadow of the Underhive. It was also another day for Sarkis to try to pull me apart, but I didn't mention that to anyone. The lowermost sector was the only zone in the entire hive where the Overseer sensor nets didn't spy on its citizens. Secrets were captured and kept among those that ruled here. Information was used rather than sold to the highest bidder. The changing of the guard arrived in stages. The first was led by a bristly sharp fellow named Carbis Nedry, who'd come in with a small private army and an eagerness to redecorate. Ogryn just wasn't his color.
"Call me Lord Nedry. I am a second cousin to Governor Barthel, and he's asked me to secure this domain."
Still wearing his warrant stripes, Boss Green didn't get up from his seat at the far end of the old temple hall. Beyond anyone in the room, he knew how these things worked.
"Nedry, your claim is noted."
"And?"
"And what? These transitions take time. Announcements must be sent, introductions made, evacuations planned."
Over the previous days, the Underhive's population had dwindled, the Arbiters returning to higher sectors, and the old boss's underlings making themselves scarce in the realm of Sub-Zero. The last Imperial Guard forces would leave as one when the time was right. Carbis Nedry wasn't oozing with patience.
"Who the Feth are you?"
"I'm Warrant Green, 1st Division, Fulcrum 10th Legion. We're the outfit that reclaimed Hive Tertius in the name of the Emperor."
"Why are you still here and not up top sorting the bodies?"
"We're waiting for our escort out. I'm led to believe that Sub-Zero isn't the safest of places these days."
Green nodded to the dozen bodyguards backing Nedry.
"You got enough?"
"I've got a full company waiting in 85B. The Ogryn at the gate won't allow them in."
"Not a good look, but we can make it work."
Green stood up.
"Do you feel that?"
"What?"
In the distance, a cadent vibration thrummed. I reached out and grasped Keegan's hand in anticipation. It was almost time.
"Lord Nedry, our escort is inbound. Boss Ringo, please acknowledge the change in ownership."
Ringo the Red stepped forward, nudging Green out of the way. It was a nice touch. He held out his hand to Nedry.
"Take it."
Nedry did. His bodyguards dropped to the floor as the governor's cousin began to scream. "Enjoy the hangover." Green guided Nedry into the place of honor. The new underlord was wide awake and wishing he wasn't. The doors to the long hall burst open. A squad of massive Adeptus Astartes stormed in, followed by a brace of Inquisitors, Mantisera and Agrimont. They certainly arrived in style. It took the Ogryn all of 8 seconds to stack Nedry's unconscious bodyguards along one wall and disappear. I wasn't sure the giant Astartes would have noticed the bodies, and Nedry looked like he needed all the help he could get. At the front of the squad was a suitably enormous individual, not Ator the Bull Big, but close. The Astartes warrior wore pristine steel-blue armor with a huge helmet and a set of platinum-plated skulls dangling from his belt.
"I am Captain Ansel Bentura of the Sons of Hyperion. We've come to collect the Primaris."
I'd gotten more than I expected. A captain usually led an entire company, not a single squad. They were a singular threat on par with a Primaris, and would certainly be considered a peer of the War Master when it came to things like respect or the weight of one's words. I stepped in front of Lord Nedry, convincing him to take a nap. "Captain, I'm Guard Primaris Parrick Kilhaven, but you may call me Six. This is Lieutenant Savant Bast, my second. We're ready to end this war." We'd salvaged the lieutenant markings from the ashes of my old uniform to make it official. With her power and experience, Keegan should have been given a commission long before we met. I'd already paid Lucian Cano back for the mistake. Captain Bentura was utterly impressed.
"Lord Mantisera, you've elevated a child?"
"Captain, I've done no such thing. In fact, I was the one that terminated his access to the guard's psyker net."
"He's been neutered?"
"For the time being, he bears the mark of the enemy, a demon host of Sarkis."
I snapped my fingers, completing the introductions. "Captain, this is Starfire, the Bane of Ator the Bull. I was missing my balls when I faced the champion. Care to try your luck before I get them back?" Inquisitor Agrimont burst out in laughter.
"Do it, Captain.
I can't wait to see what you'll look like on the ceiling.
I couldn't let that slide. Gastonia, you owe me enough already. That you would ruin a bit of fun goes beyond the pale. The Astartes commander wasn't having it.
A bit of fun? Is that what this war is to you?
Call it whatever you'd like. Are you going to join me in ending it or not? Keegan provided a less petulant translation.
Captain Bentura, given the opportunity, the Primaris would prefer to go it alone. Marked by Sarkis, Peric has spent his days fending off the enemy's attention. In doing so, he has soul-marked the remaining demon hosts and can track their exact locations. He intends to remove them one by one before the warp demon can cross over.
Somewhere in the confrontation, the whole hall had emptied out, leaving only the snores of the next regime to accompany the standoff. In a way, the unfriendly exchange was the perfect introduction to my newfound standing among the Imperial Guard. I'd passed Ator's test. I'd passed Agrimmon's test. What was one more? The Imperium was full of independent powers and primary threats. Coordination was earned, power was measured, and collisions often occurred as pecking orders sorted themselves out. Ask Carbis Nedry, whenever he wakes up. Captain Bentura redirected his ire to Mantisera.
Inquisitor, why are we here?
Great question.
The Warmaster decreed it. Beyond that, Primaris Kilhaven wanted to share the destruction of Sarkis with a capable ally. That he made the request shows a modicum of sanity. That you call him a child shows incredibly poor judgment.
I met your last Primaris protege. How did he turn out?
He went rogue and ended up dead.
Mantisera nodded at me.
By Kilhaven's hand.
Close enough. Bentura offered me his heartfelt thanks.
Good riddance.
Captain Bentura, I wasn't joking about Ator the Bull.
You destroyed a champion of chaos?
I wasn't sure that was even possible. Captain, the beast was a foot taller than you, not counting its horns. It spent most of the battle hiding behind the rift shield of a half-dead psyker. The implication was apparent to the squad of Adeptus Astartes. Would they stand in the shadow of a castrated Primaris? Apparently not.
Mantisera will join the hunt, but for the glory of the Emperor, do everyone a favor and give him back his channel.